What's up, everybody? HVK here, and I bring you our first review of 2024. And to kick off the new year, I have issue number one of Alpha Corps by none other than Chuck freaking Dixon. And that name on the front cover was the whole reason I was even interested in this book, because I've been a fan of Chuck Dixon since the early 90s when the first Batman issue I ever read was in the middle of Nightfall. Oddly enough, after Bruce Wayne had already had his back broken by Bane, and I had no idea what was going on, who John Paul Valley was, or anything like that, and I got into it from the animated series, but that's a story for another time. And I was hooked ever since then on Chuck Dixon's writing. He is one of the best writers in comic book history. He has written everything from Batman, The Birds of Prey, Nightwing, Green Arrow, to The Punisher, plenty of independent works, and I've never read anything of his that I've walked away from going, well, that was a waste of my time, right? Everything tends to be very, very good, a lot of it classic, and I was really pumped when I heard that Eric July had managed to somehow get him on board with the Ripperverse. I was immediately like, this is a comic book universe that is destined for great things. If Chuck Dixon has that much faith in it, it must be good, right? And I've had my criticisms of the first two issues of ISOM, but I was really excited for Alpha Corps, and I get it. You know, I've seen people criticize, like, oh, you know, the books can be expensive, this, that, and the other thing, blah, blah, blah. I understand that, and let me just say that this book is worth every single penny, and that alone, you could stop right now. That is enough review for you to probably warrant going out and buying it, because if you put the money aside, $1, $2, $3 every month, just like I did, because as soon as this was announced, I was like, I need to get this. I need to see what Chuck's doing with the Ripperverse. You put a little bit away here and there, you can get it. And this book is absolutely worth it. And we're going to break down exactly why. Now, I want to kick off by putting away some of the criticisms to bed, which is the proper way to say that fucking sentence, that I know are immediately going to jump out from some people. And that's because Brian Solari, Braxwell, and Ingrid Valdez do have some very superficial, reminiscent qualities of Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, respectively. And this is a creative choice that I think is done on purpose to sort of harken back a sense of familiarity, right? So that people who are familiar with comics, or even not familiar with comics and are diving into something new, you still know enough about those three characters that certain things are going to ring familiar, right? Like from Solari's outfit to his power set, very reminiscent of Superman, minus the heat vision. I haven't seen any heat vision or freezing breath or anything like that. Braxwell has some very Batman-esque qualities. He's very, very quiet. His helmet visor, kind of, you know, with his exposed chin, gives a little bit of that cowl-esque look. Seems to be a very tactically aware combatant. He thinks out his moves before he goes in. And Valdez has these sort of energy whip-like abilities, very reminiscent perhaps of Wonder Woman's Lasso of Truth and things like that. But these are very superficial sort of similarities, right? These are similarities to harken back. This is, in my opinion, an intentionally done creative choice to harken back to something that you know and recognize that immediately ushers you into something new and fresh. And that's really what we get here. We got three new characters that are very much stand out on their own. I'm going to be honest, maybe it's because I'm a Batman fan. I'm immediately drawn to Braxwell. I want to know more about him. We don't really get to see a whole lot of him here, other than him just, for lack of a better term, putting out fires with a couple of different calls that he has to deal with. And Ingrid also seems very interesting to me. There's some like anger issues going on with this woman that I'm interested to see explored moving forward, which is exactly what you want from a first issue, right? You want characters that are going to grab somebody and immediately like, okay, why am I interested in this? We saw this with ISOM as well, and I was immediately more interested in ISOM, the character, than the story that he had going on. And same thing here. I'm more interested in the Alpha Corps than the story. I will say, however, the story here is a very good, interesting sort of, you're thrown right in the middle of a conspiracy. You're given enough hints to kind of know who the evil players are, you don't even know what they're doing, but you kind of have an idea of what they are doing. You get little breadcrumbs, but you don't really know what the end game is yet. You know precious little more than the characters in the books. And that's classic Chuck Dixon sort of mystery detective style writing that he's honed with all of the characters that I mentioned before. And it works really, really well here because you immediately want to know more about the villains. You immediately want to know more about all of these organizations they seem to be attached to. I really like how they handle the villains in this universe so far, where it doesn't seem like there's too many people that have superpowers that are just evil for the sake of being evil, doing corny stuff from the old days of like, I'm just going to go and rob a bank, right? You see this with Common America as well. There's this sort of modernizing of a villain where if you have this power set, you're basically just doing the Deathstroke thing and mercenarying out yourself to the highest unscrupulous bidder, right? And we see that throughout ISOM. I already mentioned Common America, which is a different universe, but it bears the comparison here. And you see it again with Alpha Corps here. This character, Lillian, and what was the other guy's name? Michael, I think, was the other businessy type guy, businessman that was the second villain. We get a couple of villainous excepts here. We get one really interesting use of a side character to kind of inspire and further motivate the heroes that I frankly didn't see coming. He kind of harkened back to, what was the guy's name? Barney from like Leave It to Beaver, right? It was, Don Knotts, I think, was the actor that played him. I want to say his name was Barney Fife, something like that. I can't remember. We get a character like that that harkens back to somebody I didn't think was going to be very important, and he ended up being very key to the book and kind of saving the heroes, and I won't spoil how or why, but it was really, really well executed. It was something that was sort of co-inspirational, right? One of the heroes inspires him, and his actions then seem to inspire the heroes as well. So from a storytelling perspective, this is a fantastic introduction. I'm immediately interested in the characters. I'm immediately drawn into this sort of conspiracy mystery that's going on. The artwork overall is very, very good. I do have a couple of issues. There was one, there's this woman that works on the Eagle's Nest, or the area, as they call it, the Eagle's Nest, and her name is Cindy, I believe. Cindy or Sandy. Let me see if I can find it here. And there's just one particular panel, and it's a very small panel, but her facial features are way too small for her face, and you'd only see it that one time. And it's almost like, I don't know if it was a rush panel, I don't know what it was. And then the one electric villain here goes by the name of Galvin, and he has one scene where it's almost like his jaw is like extended, and I don't know if it's supposed to try and show like just how wicked and crazy this guy is, so it's kind of an over-exaggeration, like things we've seen with the Joker, for example. But it was a little jarring to me. But otherwise, overall, the artwork is really good, which again is something you want to see for a first issue. Because you want to be drawn in, and that's exactly what this book does, is you're already introduced to the Alpha Corps and ISOM, but even if you didn't read ISOM, and you're just, perhaps like me, just interested in the book because of Chuck Dixon, let's say you don't care about the Ripperverse, and you're just interested in this book because of Chuck Dixon, this is definitely telling you everything you need to know, right? This is a superhero extension of the police force, and they get called in. They're specifically existing there to call in with what they call excepts, superpowered type of threats. And, you know, there's some tension within the team because Solari sees their role as something a little bit more proactive. Valdez sees their role as something a little bit different than that. There's kind of a little bit of leadership tensions on the team. There's tensions between the team and the standard police force. They get drawn into this mystery. The characters are engaging. It has everything you want to lay the groundwork. And this doesn't do what I kind of criticized ISOM for, where ISOM gives you these random side moments, right? I criticized ISOM about the random inclusion in the first issue of Yara and the random inclusion of Alpha Corps. Not so much in the first issue. That felt on par for the first issue. But in the second issue, they randomly cut to the Alpha Corps investigating a case involving Yara, it seemed like, and it felt very jarring. You don't get any of that here, and that's not a knock on the ISOM stuff, but I liked how focused this was. There was never any cuts away. We were always engaged with the team, engaged with the police force, engaged with the case. Everything felt very focused here to really draw you in, and I sat through and read it in one sitting, and I was like, holy shit, I can't believe I'm done already. And then when I read it through again, it was the same thing, because it's just that tightly written. It's that engaging. So if you are in any way interested in this book, if you are in any way interested in the Ripperverse, this is probably the best place to start. And this is not a knock on Eric July in any way, but Chuck Dixon has been in the industry for decades, and it certainly shows through. And I'm really excited to see where the Ripperverse goes, not just because of the inclusion of Chuck Dixon, but because it's clear that he is working in some perhaps mentor capacity to Eric July, and that makes me very interested to see where everything goes. Because if Chuck Dixon has that much faith in this universe, it's definitely going to be going places. That's really all I have to say about it without talking in circles. It's a great book, really fun read. Like I said, read through it twice. Highly recommended. Two thumbs up. Chuck Dixon does it again. What can I say? I'm HVK. That's all I got to say for this one. The end.